Warning: this podcast contains foul language, sexual situations, and discussions of drugs and drinking. Yeah.
Welcome to Fuck Shakespeare! All the naughty bits exposed! Our goal is to open your eyes to all the inside info that makes reading Shakespeare way more fun. Any episode might contain dick jokes.
Or essay ideas.
Or anything in between. So listen up!
Well, hello.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yay.
That's such a gentle little quiet beginning.
Gentle! Because I'm nothing if not gentle.
Yes. You and me both, sister.
Broads.
Yeah. Broads and loud ones, too.
Yeah. Right.
Which is sauce perfect boxes. For what we're doing today. We are doing the Wailing Women scene.
Woo!
Commonly known as. Yeah. So we're just going to wail. We're going to wail. Ow!
Yes, but do pay attention to long vowel sounds.
Yow! Yes.
Right?
I will. How
no, not
now,
you
brown
people.
Cow?
Oh. Green and spin. Long vowel. Long. What is it?
Long.
Now, Miss Lamont, round tones, round tones. You know? And I can't stand him.
And yes, I can't
stand him. No. And I can't stand him. I can't stand him. It's from Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Pour the cream on the raspberries. Okay, now that we've taken you through your vocal warm-ups, class.
What I was trying to say is when Shakespeare does write wailing, he uses long vowel sounds.
Yes, indeed. We've got the O's and the A's and all that stuff.
And even the E's, keening.
Yeah, keening. Yeah. So listen for some of that. We were thinking about the way that the women keep turning on each other. Because we've already heard a bit of, you know, people condemning the Duchess for your horrible womb that churned out this monster.
Right. And then she says, well, he didn't get his evil from my tits.
Right. My dugs. Yeah. So we're going to have a bit of that again. And it's because it's like, where do the women turn otherwise in this play? They don't have, you know, they don't feel like they have any voice to speak to the people in power.
Well, they don't. Margaret's lost her position and she's just wandering around the court. The Duchess has lost her position because her son, the king, is dead. Elizabeth has lost her position because her husband is dead and now her son is whatevered. You know, they're all women without a place.
Yeah, and so it's fascinating that Shakespeare gives them this place, at least this moment, to say these things. And we are bound to listen.
This is also investigating this scene is a great paper idea.
Yeah. The three very powerful women, you know, we don't
who have no power.
Anymore. Yeah. Who don't have any power anymore.
And what queens, they do to each other.
The queens that were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good paper idea, I think.
Yeah, for sure. So they're going to get to have, the Duchess, at least, condemns her son face to face. And there's a bit of foreshadowing about she's talking about how all the spirits of the people that you've killed are going to come back to haunt you. and then the Duchess leaves and Elizabeth says, yeah, what she said. And she's about to leave. And then they have this incredible scene, just the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those courtroom drama scenes that Shakespeare loves to write.
Yes.
And you will hear it. You're going to listen, everybody, and we'll point it out to you. The legal language, the incredible use of antitheses by both parties, you know, picking up each other's words and flinging them back like mud pies, you know. It's dirty. It's a mud wrestling scene is what it really is. So, fantastic antitheses throughout the entire scene. The past versus the present is really the huge one that's sitting in the middle of the room like a frickin' elephant. Yeah?
Yeah.
So we saw a bit of it in that scene with Anne, and that scene was kind of just a warm-up for this. Because it's the women in the play who are the most impressive adversaries for Richard, even though they feel like they don't have any power. Because Elizabeth...
Well, they don't have any power.
Yeah. Yeah, but verbally, Elizabeth kicks his ass here.
Right. They're intellectual... Well, maybe not the Duchess, but Margaret and Elizabeth are certainly his intellectual equals.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Anne. I don't think so.
No.
And all the other, well, Buckingham is probably, he's clever as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about anybody else.
We have to remember that he's young also.
Yeah.
He's a lot younger, right? He's a child when Richard was on the battlefield in the last couple plays. So perhaps he would have become something if he wasn't untimely cut off.
Well, he I mean, he's old enough to be married, but he was married at the age of 8, so
yeah,
you know.
And also a little heads up for the end of this episode, because we are cutting off this scene at a certain point. We're cutting it off when Queen Elizabeth leaves, because the scene is fucking gigantic.
Wait, I want to go back for a second. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
I know you're in the middle of talking, but I just had this thought. If Buckingham is, I don't know, how old do we think he is? In his teens in this play?
Yeah, if Richard is 33 at the end, Buckingham's probably 20, right?
So maybe he, not that I'm saying that people who are teenagers and early 20s are, you know, not in possession of their faculties. That's not my intent. However, we do know that the brain fully comes to maturity at around 25, and impulsivity prior to that is something that we witness. Impulsivity and malleability, maybe. Anyway, my point is that maybe the reason Buckingham is so gung-ho to follow Richard's lead is that he is young still, and he doesn't really have a full understanding of the intricacies of even though he's been raised in court, he doesn't have a full understanding of the I don't know what the word I want is, machinations that go on. And he's just impulsively thinking, yeah, that sounds good. I don't know. Just a thought popped into my head, and that was a long aside.
We've talked a lot about how Richard is charismatic, you know? So, like, for a teenage boy to, like, look around and say, what model of power am I looking to emulate? Mm-hmm. That one looks great, right? He is a mover and a shaker. He gets shit done, you know? If he has a problem, he overcomes it, like, immediately.
Yeah. Right. And he gets what he wants. And I feel like Buckingham, you know, being married at 8, he hasn't had a lot of say in his own life up to this point.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's been dictated by his relationship with the Yorks, so he might as well get something out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Anyway, that's something to ponder.
Yeah. Well, at this point in the play, he has gone off to Brecknock, as we remember.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, as we think about the play, it never occurred to me. I always sort of thought about him as being similar in age to Richard, and that he made bad choices. But I, you know, now as you say that, I'm thinking maybe he's not fully formed, and you know, and maybe he's rebelling against a system that has kept him in check. It's a lot to think about. And I think I'm going to go and think about it after we're done here.
Well, the nature of ambition and how it affects different people.
We get that. Ooh, paper idea.
Yeah.
You can use multiple plays, but you can start here with Richard the Third. But like, there's a lot of ambition in this play.
Yeah.
Lot.
Yeah. And how does that play out in all of the different characters, you know?
Yep.
Yep. The women are very, very ambitious for themselves, for their families, you know?
Yup. I mean, that's what got Margaret sunk in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also, I mean, what's his face? Who's married to the other Margaret?
Stanley.
Oh, God. Stanley. Right. You know, yes. I mean, eventually Richmond does usurp, but just the idea that Stanley's put in the position that he's in because of his wife's ambition for her son.
Yeah. He is walking a fine line.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes. So two paper ideas right there.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. You ready?
I think so.
Dive in. It's a lot.
All right. So act four, scene four. In front of the palace.
Erin will be playing Margaret and Richard, and I'm playing Elizabeth and the Duchess. All right.
Okay, so here comes
girls.
Margaret. So now prosperity begins to mellow and drop into the rotten mouth of death. Here in these confines slyly have I lurked to watch the waning of mine adversaries. A dire induction, no, that's not a word. A dire induction am I to wit, a dire induction am I witness to, and will to France, hoping the consequence will prove as bitter, black, and tragical. Withdraw thee, wretched Margaret, who comes here.
Great. So she has some of that wonderful acting references that we love. Induction is the beginning of a play. The consequence is the ending of the play. So she's like, I've been here for the beginning, and I'm hoping the ending is going to be just as horrible.
I love slyly have I lurked.
Yeah.
Because we were talking earlier. We're like, they just let her wander around. That's so weird. But like, you know, she's not just been wandering around. She's been slyly lurking.
Yeah. Is it Dorset or Rivers in the beginning who's like, I muse why she's at liberty. Why has she just been allowed to wander around all the time? Yeah. Okay. Enter Queen Elizabeth and the Duchess of York wailing. Queen Elizabeth. Ah, my young princes! Ah, my tender babes! My unblown flowers, new appearing sweets! If yet your gentle souls fly in the air, and be not fixed in doom perpetual, hover about me with your airy wings, and hear your mother's lamentation!
So, babes!
Sweets! If your souls are still here, listen, I loved you and I'm mourning you, you know?
Yeah, doom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want and hear your mother's lamentation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a long one.
Yeah.
All right, Margaret. And these are supposed to be asides, but again, we could have her off, you know, on the front of the stage, on the back of the stage, whatever it is, you know? It doesn't have to be asides.
Yeah, just speaking. Hover about her, say that right for right hath dimmed your infant morn to aged night.
Oh boy, she's okay with killing babies because it revenges her child. Right for right.
A baby for a baby.
You for mine. You little guys for mine.
Yep.
And then Duchess of York. So many miseries have crazed my voice that my woe-wearied tongue is still and mute. Edward Plantagenet, why art thou dead?
Again. Yeah. Queen Elizabeth's kids just died. Edward's been dead for a little while. I'm not saying you get over grief quickly, but it's like these two are just always in the one-upping of each other.
Yeah. And I like my tongue is still in mute. Is it? Is it really? Or are you gonna keep going?
She just annoys the fuck out of me.
Ever mute?
When are you ever mute? And why are you not crying about your grandsons? Edward.
Well, Edward Plantagenet could be her son or her grandson.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So she could be, you know, sympathizing with Elizabeth, but also putting in her two cents also. So it's an interesting equivocal. Mm.
So I guess the actress and the director get to make that choice.
Get to decide, yeah.
Yeah. And Margaret Plantagenet doth quit Plantagenet. Edward for Edward pays a dying debt.
Yeah. Eye for an eye.
Yep.
Elizabeth. Wilt thou, O God, fly from such gentle lambs and throw them in the entrails of the wolf? When didst thou sleep when such a deed was done?
Sleep. Deed. Yeah.
And we've got really biblical imagery, right? The lambs and the wolves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Calling upon and God. Why did you let this happen?
Yeah. Margaret, when holy Harry died and my sweet son.
Her husband.
That's
her
when it was done.
That's when God slept. That's when God winked. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
And then the Duchess has this incredible speech full of antitheses. So let's see what we learn here. It's really interesting to, you know, she pits them right against each other within a word of each other. This speech is very much like Romeo's in the beginning, where he has a whole speech about loving hate and all of that, you know, when he sees what happens in the Capulet brawl. So you can compare that to this, too.
Oh, nice paper idea. Ooh, yeah. Nice paper idea.
For a little essay thing, right? Speeches full of antitheses. Romeo versus the Duchess of York. There's an unexpected duo.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And what do we get from looking and hearing those antitheses in both of those? Yeah.
Yeah. Duchess. Blind sight, dead life, poor mortal living ghost. Woes seen, world's shame, graves due by life usurped. Brief abstract and record of tedious days. Rest thy unrest on England's lawful earth, unlawfully made drunk with innocent blood.
Mm.
Wild, right? Blind sight.
Yeah.
So some of these are describing her. I mean, she's describing herself because she's again on that rant of just let me die. I can't take it anymore. So blind. I'm blind. I'm pretty much dried up in terms of life. I'm a living ghost. Woes. All of the woes that have happened in this life, you can see on me. I'm like a body that is written over with grief and horrible things.
Yeah.
You can actually read it in my face. World's shame. Nobody is proud of me anymore or holds me up as something to be revered.
And also, didn't Richard just start spreading the rumor that Edward was not gotten by their father? So now that's also shameful.
Shame. Yeah, shame. Graves do. I should be in the grave, but my life usurps that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Brief, abstract, and record of tedious days. Like, an abstract is the epitome. So I am the epitome of the record of long and boring days that I have lived for 80 years.
Yeah.
So I love, and then rest thy unrest. Lay down your body that doesn't seem to want to die.
Yeah.
Onto this earth that has been the drinker of the blood of these little babies. So, she's got herself antithesis, you know, implied antithesis to the children. Yeah.
Yeah.
So earth, you somehow, and death, you can somehow take children. You can't fucking take me.
Yeah.
Is the message. And Queen Elizabeth. Ah, that thou wouldst as well afford a grave as thou canst yield a melancholy seat. So she comes to sit down by the Duchess and she's saying, you know, I wish this was my grave. She also wants to die.
Yeah.
Then would I hide my bones, not rest them here. Ah, who hath any cause to mourn but I?
And Margaret, if ancient sorrow be most reverend, give mine the benefit of seniory and let my woes frown on the upper hand. If sorrow can admit society, tell o'er your woes again by viewing mine.
I had an Edward till a Richard killed him. I had a Harry till a Richard killed him. Thou hadst an Edward till a Richard killed him. Thou hadst a Richard till a Richard killed him.
Dang, she's got some beef.
Big beef.
Big beef. Ancient sorrow. So mine has been the longest sorrow. You might.
And I am tired of hearing you wail about your misfortunes. Look what your family did to mine.
Yeah, yeah. Give mine benefit of seniority on the upper hand in place of precedence. So mine get front and center, not yours. If sorrow can admit society, if misery welcomes company, then tell all your woes again. Examine yours in comparison to mine. And then she lays it all out. This guy for this guy, this guy for this guy.
Well, it's not even this guy for this guy. It's I had an Edward. Your Richard killed him. I had a Harry. Your Richard killed him. You had an Edward. Your Richard killed him. You had a Richard. Your Richard killed him.
Yeah. But if she's speaking to Elizabeth, yeah. So I had Harry and I had Edward. You had Edward. You had Richard. We're even now. Right. Yeah.
So, I took it as
she's attacking the Duchess. Yeah.
I took it as she's just like, you guys, you know, stop whining and think about this for a second. Your one bad seed has killed all our loves.
Yeah. So the last Richard that Margaret mentions is young York, you know, little guy who climbed on Richard's back. And then the Duchess has to chime in on this too, of course. I had a Richard too, and thou didst kill him. I had a Rutland too, thou hopest to kill him. So she had a Richard, which is York the father, Richard's father.
Right.
And Margaret killed him on the battlefield. And then Rutland was, if you remember, we'll remind you, the youngest of her sons, and Margaret's henchman Clifford killed him on the battlefield.
Right.
Back
put the napkin in his blood and tortured York with
it. Father, yes.
Yeah. And Margaret, thou hadst a Clarence too, and Richard killed him. From forth the kennel of thy womb hath crept a hellhound that doth hunt us all to death. I love that.
That's an amazing line. Yeah.
Right? And we are a family.
Yeah.
And, right?
And we're Hunt all us all. Suffering because of this one person.
Because of your sneaky womb, bitch. Yeah. Okay. That dog that had his teeth before his eyes to worry lambs and lap their gentle blood, that foul defacer of God's handiwork, that excellent grand tyrant of the earth that reigns in galled eyes of weeping souls, thy womb let loose to chase us to our graves.
Crazy, right? Yeah. To worry lambs, worry is like gnaw like a dog would does with a bone. Arr. And lap up their gentle blood. Ooh, these images are amazing.
Well, she's, you know, she wolf of France.
Yeah, yeah. She knows what that's like.
There's nothing delicate about her. She's a fucking soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? She's, yeah.
She's battle trained, pretty much.
She is battle worn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Galled eyes are sore with weeping. So the eyes that are looking on him as king are all, you know, red with weeping. All of those eyes. That womb let loose to chase us to our graves. The origin is you, bitch.
You. Yeah, right. Oh, upright, just and true disposing God, how do I thank thee that this carnal cur preys on the issue of his mother's body and makes her pew fellow with others moan.
Fantastic. Carnal cur. I love that. Carnal is carnivorous, but it's also sensual, right? It's also
of the body.
Yeah. So he Richard very much lives in his twisted body. He is very much present and makes immediate decisions in that body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes her pew fellow. I love that. Fellow mourner. She's kneeling in the pews with the rest of us. Sad because of all the dead people that her son has laid at her feet.
On the issue of his mother's body.
Yeah.
Everybody who came from
you is from dead you. Now.
is, yeah, except for him. Yep. Yeah.
And Rutland wasn't his fault, but the other two, you know, and mm-hmm. Edward wasn't directly his fault either. No. But yeah. All right, Duchess. Oh, Harry's wife, triumph not in my woes. God witness with me, I have wept for thine.
Oh, bear with me. I am hungry for revenge, and now I cloy me with beholding it. Thy Edward, he is dead that stabbed my Edward. Thy other Edward, dead to quit my Edward. Young York, he is but boot, because both they match not the high perfection of my loss. Thy Clarence, he is dead that killed my Edward, and the beholders of this tragic play, the adulterate Hastings, Rivers, Vaughan, Gray, untimely smothered in their dusky graves. Richard yet lives, hell's black intelligencer, only reserved their factor to buy souls and send them thither. But at hand, ensues his piteous and unpitied end. You want to stop there?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, I cloy me. It's a reference to gluttony. Cloying is like to eat so much that you're just like full and can't take anymore. So she's eating. She's just like taking.
I need revenge.
I'm witnessing other people suffer right alongside me, and I love it.
Yeah.
Right. So we have Thy Edward. That's Edward the Fourth. You know, the Duchess's Edward, and then we have Thy Other Edward, your little boy, Edward the Fifth, and then Young York is but boot. He's just a bonus. He's a trifling addition because, you know, both of them together couldn't match my boy.
Yeah.
Clarence. Yeah. And then we have this wonderful, another acting reference. They're the beholders of this tragic play. We have adulterate, meaning just adulterous Hastings, in their dusky graves, hidden and secret because Hastings, who knows where they buried them. They're gone. Hell's black intelligencer. So he's an agent for hell, only reserved their factor. That means hell's only leaving him here so that he can send more bodies to hell before he goes. Incredible.
Earth gapes, hell burns, fiends roar, saints pray to have him suddenly conveyed from hence. Cancel his bond of life, dear God, I pray, that I may live and say the dog is dead.
Nice. So we have all these long A sounds, right? Earth gapes, saints pray, conveyed, I pray that I may live and say. Yeah. Hey, yay, yay, yay.
Yes.
Rejoicing. Yeah. That's an incredible line. Earth gapes, hell burns. So earth gapes, like you're thinking about like the magma layer, right? She's going all the way from the center of the earth. The earth is opening up. Hell's burning. The fiends are right there on top of hell. And then the saints are up above the atmosphere level. All of that whole thing is just waiting for Richard to die.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. And I like the word pray because I think we also hear P-R-E-Y. We hear the victims in there. Yeah. Very, very animal imagery, right? We talked about.
Oh, look, I got a big speech coming up. I didn't know. Okay. Sorry.
Are you going to edit that part out? Lots of animal imagery. Like the practices of animals, eating, gnawing. Eating until they're so full. You've seen dogs do that. They will not stop when you give them, you know, yummy, yummy things. Okay, and Elizabeth is really impressed with this. Oh, thou didst prophesy the time would come that I should wish for thee to help me curse that bottled spider, that foul bunchbacked toad.
Foul bunchbacked
toad. Yeah, if you remember back in Act 1, Scene 4, she was like, teach me, teach me.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I took this away from you. I didn't realize.
Stop.
I apologize. Margaret, I called thee then vain flourish of my fortune. I called thee then poor shadow, painted queen. The presentation of but what I was. the flattering index of a direful pageant, one heaved a high to be hurtled down below, a mother only mocked with two sweet babes, a dream of what thou wast, a garish flag, to be the aim of every dangerous shot, a sign of dignity, a breath, a bubble, a queen in jest, only to fill the scene.
Do that much? Yeah, mm-hmm. So she's reminding her, yeah, I remember. I called you vain flourish, just an outward show of what should have been mine. Shadow, painted queen, just pretend, like a two-dimensional, yeah? The presentation of what I was. So we have like scenery references. You're just a cipher, yeah? The flattering index, table of contents, an index to the direful pageant, to the play. You're like as if the play was written down. You're just the beginning part. And I was, I'm the real substance of it, yeah?
Well, everybody's the subject of their own life.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And then we have mocking and hurled down. She's only a dream. You were nothing. It wasn't real what you had. We have this battlefield imagery, a flag that would be the aim of every dangerous shot. So it's like a fancy, fancy flag that is saying this is where the king is and everybody shoots at it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like a queen in jest only to fill the scene. It's like you're a walk-on character. Yeah, it was a joke. Right. Your life was a joke.
Yeah. Where is thy husband now? Where be thy brothers? Where be thy two sons? Wherein dost thou joy? Who sues and kneels and says, God save the queen? Where be the bending peers that flattered thee? Where be the thronging troops that followed thee? Decline all this and see what now thou art.
Yeah, so lots and lots of questions. What? Who are you now? And so we have decline. Decline is like what you do with verbs. So you recite them in order. You rehearse them. Yeah. So she's like, let's see what you are now. Yeah. And here's the
list.
Here
we go. For happy wife, a most distressed widow. For joyful mother, one that wails the name. For one being sued to, one that humbly sues. For queen, a very caitiff crowned with care. For she that scorned at me, now scorned of me. For she being feared of all, now fearing one. For she commanding all, obeyed of none. Thus hath the course of justice whirled about, and left thee but a very prey to time, having no more but thought of what thou wast, to torture thee the more, being what thou art.
That's quite a list, huh?
Be.
So you were a wife, now you're a widow. You were a mother, now you're not. You were somebody that people asked favors of, and now you're the one that's suing, humbly sues. You kneel, you have to ask for things. Mm-hmm. For queen, I love queen and caitiff as antitheses, right?
Queen, caitiff, yeah. But also, I mean, that's a queen, caitiff, crowned care.
Yeah. Spitting, cursing, seize, right? A caitiff is a pitiful wretch. So that's quite an opposition. Queen.
Yes, queen and caitiff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like she that scorned at me, now scorned of me. You were on my side over here railing at me before. And now I get to switch places with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels pretty damn good.
Pretty good. Pretty
I do
good.
Like the one and none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, ironic rhyming couplet there.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if she's like, yeah, well, I'm done, but I'm only done with that list. And I've got more to say.
Yeah, right.
And every line now, beginning with four. Four, 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 four. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the justice world about, the course of justice world about. In Twelfth Night, we have Festi talking to Malvolio, and he says, thus the whirligig of time brings in its revenges. So we have this whirling idea that things come back around, bitch. right? Do not sit there complacent thinking you're good on top because shit comes back.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yep.
Thou didst usurp my place, and dost thou not usurp the just proportion of my sorrow? Now thy proud neck bears half my burthened yoke, from which even here I slip my weary head and leave the burthen of it all on thee. Farewell, York's wife, and queen of sad mischance. These English woes will make me smile in France.
Yeah, I always think of that as a mic drop. She's like, it's a bam.
Bam. Goodbye.
Fuck off, y'all. Because she's got a farewell and then France, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. York's wife. York's wife is the Duchess, probably she's addressing, but it could also apply to Queen Elizabeth, depending on.
Yes, I think it's both of them.
Both of them.
I think it's both of them. And she's like, I don't have to stay in England, bitches. I'm French. Off I go.
Agent. Bye-bye. Now, whether they want you back or not, Margaret, is another idea. But yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
But, and I think when I have presented the scene before, I cut the rest here because I'm like, that's an excellent way for her to leave. Right?
Absolutely.
Fuck off.
Yes.
I'm going to France. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a few more lines because Elizabeth's like, no, teach me. I want to learn. I want to be at your skirt now and learn from you. Elizabeth. Oh, how well skilled in curses. Stay a while and teach me how to curse mine enemies.
Forbear to sleep the nights and fast the days. Compare dead happiness with living woe. Think that thy babes were sweeter than they were, and he that slew them fouler than he is. Bettering thy loss makes the bad causer worse. Revolving this will teach thee how to curse.
There's another nice rhyming couplet. Worse curse. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have sweeter and fouler. So if the babies were sweeter than you even remember them, then you will know that he's worse than ever you thought. And this is how you learn to curse like me, is
right.
By exaggerating the ends, like widening the gap. Yeah.
Yep.
Bettering thy loss. So like everything that you've lost, think that it's much better than you ever imagined, than you ever remembered. And then that makes the other guy, the guy who did this to you, so much the worse. Yeah. Elizabeth. My words are dull. Oh, quicken them with thine.
Thy woes will make them sharp and pierce like mine.
Yeah, and that's when she exits. So she exits on a shared rhyming couplet.
Yep.
But I don't think that's as strong as the exiting on France. That's just me. And then the Duchess. Why should calamity be full of words?
Shut your trap and maybe it won't be.
Maybe it won't be. If we didn't have to hear your fucking words. And Elizabeth takes that up. Windy attorneys to their client woes, airy succeeders of intestate joys, poor breathing orators of miseries, let them have scope. Though what they do impart help not at all, yet do they ease the heart. Yeah, so she's like, yes, you're right. They're just breath. They're just windy attorneys. But I love that. She's bringing in the language of the courtroom now.
Yeah.
So we have attorneys, we have client, we have succeeders, which is heirs, and we have intestate, which is dying without bequeathing anything. Yeah? So
without
bam, 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 bam. Yeah. All the language of the courtroom. She's bringing in, and it will set up us to listen for that courtroom language that's coming now. And she's like, yeah, okay, words suck, but at least we have words because, you know, we'd be dead otherwise. And the Duchess, if so, then be not tongue-tied. Go with me, and in the breath of bitter words, let's smother my damned son, which thy two sweet sons smothered. I hear his drum. Be copious in exclaims.
Be copious in exclaims.
Come on, yell big. And here comes Richard marching in with his drums and trumpets because he's going off to quell this Buckingham rebellion.
Who intercepts me in my expedition?
Duchess, oh, she that might have intercepted thee by strangling thee in her accursed womb from all the slaughters, wretch, that thou hast done. So who intercepts me? Who's stopping me? Oh, I'm stopping you. I might have prevented you from doing all these things if I had just stopped you inside of me. And Elizabeth, hidest thou that forehead with a golden crown, where should be branded, if that right were right, the slaughter of the prince that owned that crown, and the dire death of my poor sons and brothers? Tell me, thou villain slave, where are my children? So you've got a crown on, but you should have a brand on your forehead that says Prince Edward should have this crown. It's similar to that image that Anne brought up, like, I wish the crown was deadly hot thing to sear me to the skull. And the death of my poor sons and brothers is Rivers and Grey and all the other sons. Yeah. Where are my children? Duchess of York. Thou toad, where is thy brother Clarence and little Ned Plantagenet, his son, whom Richard is hiding away, if you remember.
So now little Ned has a name.
Little Ned has a name. He's no longer boy.
He's no longer boy.
Little and he's Ned because he's yet again another Edward.
Another Edward.
Oh, yeah. Yoy. Queen Elizabeth. Maybe that's why he didn't have a name, because Shakespeare's like, okay, there's too many Edwards. I can't.
Also, just
everyone will
away.
Just fucking be confused. It's just too much. Yeah, you can see him at his desk going, no, I'm not writing Edward. yeah. I like those moments of picturing Shakespeare at his desk. What? Oh, no, not another one. Okay, Elizabeth. Where is kind Hastings, Rivers, Vaughan, Grey?
Flourish trumpets, strike alarum, drums. Let not the heavens hear these telltale women rail on the Lord's anointed. Strike, I say!
Bum, 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 bum.
Either be patient and entreat me fair, or with the clamorous report of war, thus will I drown your exclamations.
Yeah. So alarums is actually a specific type of drum that alerts the battlefield to the fact that the king is under attack. So that's what he's saying. I'm under attack. Strike the drums. Yeah. Be patient. This is what people are always asking women to do. Patient is code for shut up.
Yeah. Yes.
Shut up. And I love this. Entreat me fair. Treat me courteously. Yeah. Or I will play these fucking drums and drown you out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Duchess.
Yeah.
Art thou my son?
I thank God, my father and yourself.
Then patiently hear my impatience.
Madam.
She's like, you shut up.
Madam, I have a touch of your condition, which cannot brook the accent of reproof.
So he's like, I'm like you in this. I don't like to be criticized.
Yeah, I don't want to hear what you have to say, just like you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Yeah. A touch of your condition. I have a similar disposition to you. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
And the Duchess. So also, art thou my son is a half line. Really interesting.
Yes.
Right? Because thus will I drown out your exclamations. And I thank God, my father and yourself. So it's this half line. And I think it almost takes him by surprise. He's like, what? Why are you asking me?
what are you saying?
What kind of question? Yeah. And then here the Duchess has another half line, but he does finish this one. Oh, let me speak.
Do then, but I'll not hear.
I will be mild and gentle in my speech.
And brief, good mother, for I am in haste.
Art thou so hasty? I have stayed for thee, God knows, in anguish, pain, and agony.
And came I not at last to comfort you?
No, by the holy rood, thou know'st it well. Thou cam'st on earth to make the earth my hell.
I love all these rhymes.
Yeah, it's great. It's
the really, agony.
Yeah, it moves.
Yeah,
the
text well, hell.
Really
yeah.
Well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stayed for thee, right? I bore you in my belly. And she starts again with the anguish and pain and agony. So you came on earth to make earth my hell. A grievous burden was thy birth to me. Tetchy and wayward was thy infancy. Thy school days frightful, desperate, wild, and furious. Thy prime of manhood, daring, bold, and venturous. Thy age confirmed, proud, subtle, sly, and bloody. More mild, but yet more harmful, kind in hatred. What comfortable hour canst thou name that ever graced me in thy company?
Wow, tetchy and wayward was thy infancy. Yeah. I think I'd like to tell my children they were tetchy and wayward.
Tetchy and wayward. So complaining. So he was a baby that was difficult. Colicky, right?
Colicky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a difficult. So it's almost like Jaques, you know, stages of man speech, right?
Yes.
All the world's a stage. We've got the stages of Richard here and what they meant to her as a mother. So your birth was so difficult. Your infancy was, you were just a little bitch of a baby, right? When you were a schoolboy, you were like crazy, wild and furious. The prime of manhood, this sounds kind of cool. Daring, bold, adventurous. Sure, great.
Well, she's admitting that he was a good soldier and that he did the right things.
Right. And we have three rhyming couplets, right? So we have, well, hell, me, infancy, furious, adventurous. And then she kind of gives up on them. We have bloody hatred name company. Thy age confirmed is your settled maturity. So then he starts to change, right? So we get sly, we get bloody. And then this is interesting, kind in hatred. So
yeah, more mild, but yet, so no longer a soldier and practiced, right? A practiced veneer of appropriate behavior.
Yeah, which then.
But underneath.
You hid horrible things under there, yeah?
Be the serpent under it.
Yeah. Kind in hatred is vindictive with a pretense of kindness. Yeah. So tell me what hour I spent in your company that was good. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And he says, faith, none but Humphrey hour that called your grace to breakfast once forth of my company. All right, let's talk about that because I have no idea what the hell that means.
Humphrey hour, yeah. Critics are like not entirely sure what that was, but there's a proverb that said to dine with Humphrey meant to go hungry. So it seems like he's saying, yes, the only hour that you ever enjoyed of in my company was out of my company when you skipped breakfast to get away from me.
Ah, okay.
So you didn't eat.
If I be so disgracious, if I be so disgracious in your sight, let me march on and not offend you, madam. Strike the drum.
I prithee, hear me speak.
You speak too bitterly.
Hear me a word, for I shall never speak to thee again.
So?
Either thou wilt die by God's just ordinance, ere from this war thou turn a conqueror, or I, with grief and extreme age, shall perish and never more behold thy face again. So either way, we are not going to meet again, so listen to me. Therefore, take with thee my most grievous curse, which in the day of battle tire thee more than all the complete armor that thou wearest. My prayers on the adverse party fight, and there the little souls of Edward's children whisper the spirits of thine enemies and promise them success and victory. Bloody thou art. Bloody will be thy end. Shame serves thy life, and doth thy death attend. Shabam. Mic drop.
Yeah, that's a mic drop.
Out. Yeah, she says that, and she leaves. She's done. But we have a little foreshadowing here. The spirits of your enemies will visit you on the battlefield. Yeah, including Edward's children. And we have the image of my curses sitting heavier on you than your whole armor. And armor was really fucking heavy. All right. And Queen Elizabeth tries to get out on her coattails and doesn't quite make it.
Damn.
No. Elizabeth. Though far more cause, yet much less spirit to curse, abides in me. I say amen to all.
Stay, madam. I must speak a word with you.
I have no more sons of the royal blood for thee to murder. For my daughters, Richard, they shall be praying nuns, not weeping queens, and therefore level not to hit their lives.
I love that. Praying nuns, weeping queens.
Yeah, beautiful antithesis. And these are the only choices for women, right?
Right.
Yeah. Or women of, you know, nobility at least, right? I'm not going to be milkmaid. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Level not. So level is to aim a gun. So don't aim at them.
Yeah. You have a daughter called Elizabeth, virtuous and fair, royal and gracious.
And must she die for this? Oh, let her live, and I'll corrupt her manners, stain her beauty, slander myself as false to Edward's bed, throw over her the veil of infamy, so she may live unscarred of bleeding slaughter. I will confess she was not Edward's daughter.
Nice rhyming couplet.
Yeah, slaughter daughter. Yikes.
Yeah.
I'll corrupt her manners, her morals. I will do anything. I'll do whatever it takes so that she won't become someone that you need to get rid of.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'll proclaim infamy, any kind of horrible rumor about what she is, just so you keep her out of your sights.
Yep. Wrong not her birth. She is of royal blood.
Excuse me. Didn't he just say that all of Edward's children were bastards?
Well, sorry. My laptop tried to make a break for it.
You know, he had Buckingham slander them all over town.
Yep.
And now he's conveniently said that she's royal. Elizabeth, to save her life, I'll say she is not so.
Her life is only safest in her birth.
And only in that safety died her brothers.
Lo, at their births, good stars were opposite.
No, to their lives, bad friends were contrary.
All unavoided is the doom of destiny.
Yeah, he's like, you can't help what fate has in store for you.
Their stars set them up for that. What can I tell you?
Not my fault. But we have beautiful antitheses, right? We have birth, life, safety, stars, friends. Opposite, contrary, yeah. They're starting to jockey their language back and forth. Elizabeth, true, when avoided grace makes destiny. My babes were destined to a fairer death if grace had blessed thee with a fairer life.
You speak as if that I had slain my cousins.
Yeah, but I really love this. My babies would have lived for a better death if you had been blessed with a better life. That's so true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right.
If people had treated him better, he would have not been this person.
Yeah. And I think the reason he said, it occurs to me that the reason he says you speak as if I had killed your kids, I think she catches him a little off guard, knowing that about him.
Yeah. There's a lot of if going forward here, too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not admitting anything, but he's like, let's explore this idea. Yeah, but I love that because I feel like it's Shakespeare lobbing in the, you know, how might things have turned out differently?
If everyone had been nice.
Yeah. What would it have cost you?
Mm.
Yeah. All right. Slain my cousins. And then she uses that word. Cousins, indeed, and by their uncle cousined. So we've got cousined is cheated, yeah? Did we talk about the origin of that cousining?
I don't think we did, even though we've had it in other plays.
We talked about it when we were rehearsing Merry Wives, because we have that word, cousined. So the sense of it is the people who go in claiming kindred of someone. So they're like, oh, yeah, I'm Billy's cousin. So he told me I could come in, you know, and have a free ticket. It's that kind of thing where someone claims kindred and therefore they get certain privileges. It's cheating. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the origin of cousined with a Z.
Yeah. Interesting.
So. Cousins, indeed, and by their uncle cousined of comfort, kingdom, kindred, freedom, life. Whose hand soever lanced their tender hearts, thy head all indirectly gave direction. No doubt the murderous knife was dull and blunt till it was whetted on thy stone-hard heart to revel in the entrails of my lambs. Whoa. Again.
Jesus.
these the way that animals deal with corpses and with bodies, right? We have Revel in the entrails is like a wild animal who dives into the belly of the beast first, eating the entrails because the entrails are the most nutritious, right? You'll see when wolves bring down an animal, they always eat the guts out first. Whetted on thy stone heart, your whoever's knife did it was sharpened on your hard heart. Yeah.
Yeah, whose hand soever lanced their tender hearts, thy head all indirectly gave direction. So, right. So you may not have done it yourself, but you directed it.
Your brainchild. Yeah.
Yeah.
The word lanced is cool. It's like it comes from the word lance. So it's like piercing through something. Mm-hmm. But that still use of grief makes wild grief tame. My tongue should to thy ears not name my boys till that my nails were anchored in thine eyes. And I, in such a desperate bay of death, like a poor bark of sails and tackling reft, rush all to pieces on thy rocky bosom. Oof, love it. Long sailing metaphor here of a ship.
Yeah.
We've got anchored in thine eyes, my nails. I wouldn't mention my kids' names to you until my nails had ripped out your eyes. But I am in this desperate bay of death. So it's like a dangerous inlet where a boat is trapped and it's all rocks and there's no place to land or drop anchor. Reft, meaning bereft. So it's the sails and the tackling. All the sails and the rigging have been torn down by the storm. And the only option is to be run aground.
Against on your rocky bosom.
Bosom, you are the rock that, yeah. He's described
hard heart.
In the Henry plays as the Richard, that rock that interrupts all of the flow of everything else. Yeah. Mm.
Madam, so thrive I in my enterprise and dangerous success of bloody wars, as I intend more good to you and yours than ever you or yours were by me wronged.
Yeah, so he keeps holding up his future success against what I will do for your family to make amends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So may the success of my dangerous endeavors be as certain as the fact that I intend to do you more good than you were ever wronged by me. Yeah? Elizabeth. What good is covered with the face of heaven to be discovered that can do me good?
Covered, discovered.
Yeah. So something that's hidden. Clearly I can't see it. Some good that mm-hmm. you intend me.
Yeah. The advancement of your children, gentle lady.
Up to some scaffold, there to lose their heads.
No, to the dignity and height of honor, the high imperial type of this earth's glory.
Type being symbol, which is the crown. All right, so I'm going to bring one of your children up to the crown. Flatter my sorrows with report of it. Tell me what state, what dignity, what honor canst thou demise to any child of mine? Love the word demise.
Yeah.
It means transmit, but it's also the word for death, right?
Yeah. Wow. Even all I have, yea, and myself and all, will I withal endow a child of thine. So in the lethe of thy angry soul, thou drown the sad remembrance of those wrongs which thou supposest I have done to thee.
Yeah. Lethe is the river in Hades where memory was wiped out. So mm-hmm. he's saying, I will do this thing. I will give myself and all and everything to one of your children if you will just let this memory go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be brief. Lest that the process of thy kindness last longer telling than thy kindness date.
I love that line. Yeah. I love that line.
Quickly.
She's like, kushed.
Because usually your promises are longer in the telling than they actually are.
Last. Yeah, right. Last.
Yeah.
Then know that from my soul, I love thy daughter.
Now watch how she uses the word from. So he's meaning with. With my soul, I love your daughter, right?
Yeah.
And then she says enigmatically here, my daughter's mother thinks it with her soul.
What do you think?
Yeah, so that's a half line too. He's like, what? Come again?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I don't understand what you're saying.
It sounds like you're saying, right, it sounds like you're saying you believe that I love her.
But you didn't even let me make the rest of my argument, so I can't quite understand why you said that. That thou dost love my daughter from thy soul. So from thy soul's love didst thou love her brothers. And from my heart's love I do thank thee for it. So now she's using the word from to mean apart from, away from. So you love my daughter away from your, not with your
soul. You don't, right, not with your soul.
And not with my soul do I thank you. Right. Not with my heart.
Be not so hasty to confound my meaning. I mean that with my soul, I love thy daughter, and mean to make her Queen of England.
Well then, who dost thou mean shall be her king?
Even he that makes her queen, who should be else?
What, thou?
Even so. How think you of it?
How canst thou woo her?
That would I learn of you. As one that are best acquainted with her humor.
And wilt thou learn of me?
Madam, with all my heart.
Yeah, there's an interesting. So she's like, excuse me, what?
You want me?
To teach you how to woo your my daughter? Oh my God. Okay. So she has an idea now. Okay. All right. Okay. Send to her, by the man that slew her brothers, a pair of bleeding hearts. Thereon engrave Edward and York. Then happily she will weep. Therefore present to her, as sometime Margaret did to thy father, steeped in Rutland's blood, a handkerchief, which, say to her, did drain the purple sap from her sweet brother's body, and bid her dry her wiping eyes therewith.
Weeping.
Oops, sorry. And bid her dry her weeping eyes therewith. If this inducement move her not to love, send her a letter of thy noble deeds. Tell her thou madest away her uncle Clarence, her uncle Rivers, aye, and for her sake madest quick conveyance with her good Aunt Anne.
You mock me, madam. This is not the way to win your daughter.
Yeah, so send her a couple of dead hearts that are engraved with her brother's names. How about that? And then give her handkerchief.
That might make her cry.
Yeah. She's going to cry. So give her a handkerchief. But make sure it's dyed in the blood of her brothers, you know, because that'll be great.
Yeah. That's what we did to Rutland. So, like, yeah. Let's do that.
And if that doesn't work, then you could send her a whole catalog of your, you know, all of your deeds. How you killed her Uncle Clarence, her Uncle Rivers, and, you know, and her Aunt Anne. How about that? And he's like, okay. Okay, enough with the sarcasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sarcasm is rare in Shakespeare, but this is definitely highly sarcastic here, yeah. There is no other way, unless thou couldst put on some other shape, and not be Richard that hath done all this.
Say that I did all this for love of her.
Nay, then indeed she cannot choose but hate thee, having bought love with such a bloody spoil. Great, so we've got love, we've got hate, and then love again. So she had to pay for love with a pile of corpses. So I have a note here to us that as soon as Aaron finishes this speech, we're going to read down the line endings because they're amazing.
Okay. All right, here we go. Look, what is done cannot be now amended. Men shall deal unadvisedly sometimes, which after hours gives leisure to repent. If I did take the kingdom from your sons, to make amends, I'll give it to your daughter. If I have killed the issue of your womb, to quicken your increase, I will beget mine issue of your blood upon your daughter. A grandam's name is little less in love than is the doting title of a mother. They are as children, but one step below. Even your metal, of your very blood, of one pain?
Of and one pain. Yeah, of just one pain. Like, of one pain. Of and one pain, save for a night of groans. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay. They are his children, but one step below. Even of your metal, of your very blood, of in one pain, save for a night of groans, endured of her for whom you bid like sorrow. Your children were vexation to your youth, but mine shall be a comfort to your age. The loss you have is but a son being king, and by that loss your daughter is made queen. I cannot make you amends what I would, therefore accept such kindness as I can. Dorset, your son, that with a fearful soul leads discontented steps in foreign soil, this fair alliance quickly shall come home to high promotions and great dignity. The king that calls your beauteous daughter wife familiarly shall call thy Dorset brother. Again shall you be mother to a king, and all the ruins of distressful times repaired with double riches of content. What? We have many goodly days to see. The liquid drops of tears that you have shed shall come again, transformed to orient pearl, advantaging their loan with interest of 10 times double gain of happiness. Then go, my mother, to thy daughter, go. Make bold her bashful years with your experience. Prepare her ears to hear a wooer's tale. Put in her tender heart the aspiring flame of golden sovereignty. Acquaint the princess with the sweet, silent hours of marriage joys. And when this arm of mine hath chastised the petty rebel, dull-brained Buckingham, bound with triumphant garlands will I come and lead thy daughter to a conqueror's bed, to whom I will retail my conquest won, and she shall be sole victress, Caesar's Caesar.
Wowza. Yeah, I let it go because I wanted to hear the whole dang thing, but now we can take it apart. Yeah, so he's like, look, man, I cannot take back the past.
Yes.
I make mistakes, okay? Yeah. What were you going to say?
And you're right. And just that, you know, mother, grandmother, it's really kind of the same, except you don't have to give birth, which is nice for you.
Yeah, which is good, right? That's good. We have the word twice, right? He's like, I'm not confessing. I'm not saying it's true, but if I did this thing, then I can make it up to you. I love sons, daughter, as the line endings there in the third couple of lines, fourth line.
Yeah.
To quicken your increase, to bring alive your larger family, I will combine my blood with yours and we'll make an heir. Okay.
Yeah.
Yours once removed, your daughter. Okay. No big deal. Yeah. And so we have grandmother equals mother, as Aaron said. It's all the same, right? Grandchildren are born without you having to undergo any pain. Yeah. I love vexation against comfort as antitheses, mm-hmm. youth against age there. Mm-hmm. Your own children were such a difficulty for you when you were young, but mine are going to be great. You're going to love being a grandma. It's going to be great. Right. So he's just like exchanging. Here's a bad thing for a good thing. Yeah. The loss you have is but a son being, it's only like he's not taking into account actually the child, but the chance of the child being king. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't want to talk about the child's body itself. Just the child as a possibility. And by that loss, your daughter is made queen. Yeah, win-win. Yeah, great. So he says,
sorry.
He says, rightly so, I cannot bring your son back. I can't do it. So this is what I'm offering instead. So he offers that Dorset can be recalled from exile. And Dorset is also her son. So he's like, you'll get one of your sons back. And I will call him brother. That will be good, right? Again, you're going to be mother of a king. You'll be mother-in-law. I'm your son-in-law. That's weird. and then when he says, the ruins of distressful times repaired with double riches of content, we have double benefits. It kind of recalls two boys, two sons. For the loss of two sons, you get double the payback. Yeah. And then we have these beautiful images of tears turning to pearls, which recalls Clarence's dream where he said there were jewels in the eyeballs of the skulls down under the water. But it also recalls Ariel in the Tempest. Those are the pearls that were his eyes. I know that play comes much later, but here's an image that Shakespeare maybe brings back there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of those tears was a dropped pearl. It's almost like she paid those in, you know, as a investment, and they will come back to her 10 times over. Your investment paid off. Yeah. And then we have this incredible image. Go then, my mother. Yuck.
Blech.
It's just gross. How can I be your mother? I'm your sister-in-law. It's very confusing. Ah! Yeah. And then make bold her bashful years with your experience. Teach her how to receive a lover. Talk to her about, you know, she's a young teenager, Elizabeth. Yeah. Which he's 32 or whatever. I mean, it's not horrific, but that was done all the time. It's yes. At least he's not 60, you know.
Yeah.
Like put in her tender heart the aspiring flame of golden sovereignty. So enkindle ambition in your child.
Which is such a bad idea. We know what ambition brings.
Yeah. But he's like, you're a fucking ambitious bitch, you know, like
yeah.
Get your daughter to get some of that flame. Yeah. And then the sweet silent hours of marriage. Talk to her about sex. Tell her.
I know you like it because you had a lot of kids. So share.
My lustful brother.
Yeah.
And then he talks about going over and kicking Buckingham's ass. And when he comes back, he will be not only king, but he'll be a conqueror. You know, like, tell her, like, this is what she gets. She gets king. She gets conqueror. It's like getting fucking Caesar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the word retail. It means tell over, but she's also, I will sell to her all of my glory, right?
Mm-hmm.
She will be reaping the benefits of all of this.
Yes.
The only victress. I love victress. Caesar. Yeah. She's going to be married to a conqueror king.
Yep.
Yeah. So now we took apart that speech, Aaron, and I just want you to read down the line endings because it's really fucking amazing. We've talked about how line endings tell the blueprint of the speech. So listen to what Richard, the points that he is driving home here. It's incredible. Go for it. Ready?
Amended. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amended. Amended. Sometimes repent. Sons, daughter, womb, beget, daughter, love, mother, below, blood, groans, sorrow, youth, age, king, queen, wood, can, soul, soil, home, dignity, wife, brother, king, times, content, see, shed, pearl, interest, happiness, go, experience, tale, flame, princess, joys, chastised, Buckingham, Buckingham, come, bed, come, bed, one, Caesar.
Caesar's coming to bed, baby. Amazing, right? Like, what stood out to you? It's so incredible.
I
like King.
Sometimes
followed.
Repent.
Yeah. And then I like King followed by Queen. Like, Queen is better.
Yeah.
I'm going to make her Queen. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And I like soul and soil.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
That's incredible, right? But we have all of these family words, right? Wife, mm-hmm. brother, wife, daughter. Yeah?
Yep.
Wild.
Yeah.
And then
womb
daughter,
beget.
Sons, daughter, womb beget daughter. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Daughter, mm-hmm. womb beget daughter. Mm. Yeah. Wild. Wild. Just had to have you there, but I love that. Come bed. One Zika. I can't sell it any better than this. Damn it. Right. Elizabeth ain't finished with him, though. What were I best to say? Her father's brother would be her lord? Or shall I say her uncle? Or he that slew her brothers and her uncles? Under what title shall I woo for thee, that God, the law, my honor, and her love can make seem pleasing to her tender years?
Infer fair England's peace by this alliance.
He's like, what are you talking about? I thought we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So peace is at stake here. Yeah. So now the stakes, they're going to lay out the stakes. Which she shall purchase with still lasting war.
Say that the king, which may command, entreats.
That's an interesting, because he's like, I could force her, but I'm asking nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, that at her hands, which the king's king forbids.
So that's God.
Asking for something. Yeah. You're asking for something that God would not allow to be given, that she should marry her uncle. It's not okay.
Yeah. Say she shall be a high and mighty queen.
To veil the title as her mother doth. So veil.
Say I will
sorrow.
Love.
To wear a veil of sorrow. Yeah.
Yeah. Say I will love her everlastingly.
But how long shall that title ever last? Yeah, quote, unquote, ever.
Yeah, right. Sweetly enforce unto her fair life's end.
But how long fairly shall her sweet life last?
I know you're going to offer. Yeah, you'll be nice to her until you kill her.
Yeah, you were married to your last wife for what, 2 minutes?
Yeah, right. And he answers her, so long as heaven and nature lengthens it.
So long as hell and Richard likes of it.
Pitting nature against Richard.
Yeah, I like that. We've got heaven and hell, so it kind of implies nature against Richard. Yeah.
Yeah. Say I, her sovereign, am her subject low.
But she, your subject, loathes such sovereignty. I love low and loathes.
Loathes.
It's marvelous. Even using sounds against him.
Yeah.
Turning it back. And she hates the sovereignty. She hates the way you became king, right? The way you got that sovereignty.
Be eloquent in my bit that woo. Be eloquent in my behalf to her.
An honest tale speeds best being plainly told.
Then in plain terms, tell her my loving tale.
Plain and not honest is too harsh a style.
Your reasons are too shallow and too quick.
Oh, no. My reasons are too deep and dead. Too deep and dead, poor infants, in their grave. So they've been doing these one-liners, boom, 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 and now she changes that rhythm, right? So she's got the
repetition. She goes for the kill.
Yeah, she's got the repetition, she's got the longer lines, and she's like, I'm done playing this shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Harp not on that string, madam. That is past.
Harp on it still, shall I, till heartstrings break.
Now, by my George, my garter, and my crown.
Profaned, dishonored, and a third usurped. So now she's starting to interrupt him, right? She's not even letting him finish.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Good. And my George, my garter, and my crown, these are all, well, the crown, but the George and the garter are items worn by members of the Order of the Garter, which was the royal houses, the peers. Yeah.
Right. And so when he says George, garter, crown, she does the antithesis, profane, dishonored, and the third usurped. I mean, it's not.
Oh, Yeah. So now, as you were saying, she says, by my George, my garter, my crown, that he has profaned the George. The George is an emblem, a little medal that they wear. The garter is actually a thing that they wear around their legs that has a motto on it. Right. So he's dishonored all these things and usurped the crown.
And Richard, I swear.
By nothing, for this is no oath. The George profaned hath lost his holy honor. The garter blemished, pawned his knightly virtue. The crown usurped, disgraced his kingly glory. If something thou wouldst swear to be believed, swear then by something that thou hast not wronged.
Then by myself.
Thyself is self misused.
Now, by the world!
Is full of thy foul wrongs.
My father's death!
Thy life hath that dishonored.
Why then, by God?
God's wrong is most of all. Love that repetition of God. God, God. Yeah, so swear by something that you haven't, you know, befouled, right? And so he's like, myself. And he's like, she's like, no, you're delusional. Self misused. Mm-hmm. I like that. You're delusional. The world is full of your wrongs. The death, your father's death, you have dishonored.
Dishonored his life by your behavior.
By your behavior. And then God's wrong is most of all. If thou didst fear to break an oath with him, the unity the king my husband made had not been broken, nor my brothers died. If thou hadst feared to break an oath by him, the imperial medal circling now thy head had graced the tender temples of my child, and both the princes had been breathing here, which now two tender bedfellows to dust, thy broken faith hath made a prey for worms. What canst thou swear by now? Yeah. So fuck you, swearing by God. Impossible. Because you swore to uphold the thing that Edward made you shake hands on, that you would never do me ill, and you have broken that promise. You going against God's promise of primogeniture, which is that the son should succeed the father. So you have broken that promise too. So fuck you.
And Richard, the time to come.
That thou hast wronged in the time or past, for I myself have many tears to wash hereafter time, for time past wronged by thee. So I have tears yet to shed in the future for crimes that you have done in the past. So you can't swear by the future. Yeah. The children live whose fathers thou hast slaughtered, ungoverned youth to wail it in their age. The parents live whose children thou hast butchered, old barren plants to wail it with their age. Swear not by time to come, for that thou hast misused, ere used, by time ill used or past.
Wow.
So children are alive whose fathers you've killed, and ungoverned youth, meaning they're young people without mentors or role models, and so their adulthood is going to be the worse for it. And then parents live whose children you've butchered, and they can't have any more children because they're old barren plants, so that they won't have any heirs, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't swear by the time to come, because you have already fucked it up for a long time to come by the deeds which you have done, which will continue to breed sorrow.
Yeah. As I intend to prosper and repent, so thrive I in my dangerous affairs of hostile arms. Myself confound. Heaven and fortune bar me happy hours. Day, yield me not thy light, nor night thy rest. Be opposite all planets of good luck to my proceeding, if with dear heart's love, immaculate devotion, holy thoughts, I tender not thy beauteous, princely daughter. In her consists my happiness and thine. Without her follows to myself and thee, herself, the land, and many a Christian soul, death, desolation, ruin, and decay. It cannot be avoided but by this. It will not be avoided but by this. Therefore, dear mother,
I must call you so. Be the attorney of my love to her. Plead what I will be, not what I have been. Not my deserts, but what I will deserve. Urge the necessity and state of times, and be not peevish fond in great designs.
Nice. So again, at the top of the speech, he's again betting his successes to come against the swearing of this truth here. So if I'm not swearing truth here, may I be completely unsuccessful in every future venture. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, no good day ever happened to me again. No night of rest. But we already heard from Anne that he doesn't sleep. He has terrible nightmares.
Yep.
Yeah. May all bad things happen to me if I don't love your daughter. But then he says, you know, the consequences are bigger than just me and you. It's about herself, the land, and many Christians. There's a lot more depending on this.
Right.
So you just fucking go and tell her we're getting married. Death, desolation, ruin, and decay. That's it. The whole world is coming down if this doesn't happen. And it feels like that to him right now.
Yeah. He has to secure... forward. Right. He has to secure his legitimacy. He has to get an heir. He has to mend the rift in the families. He has to do all this. And yeah. The only path forward is her.
Yeah. And all of this talk of wombs and children and children and children, he needs an heir. So there's that kind of desperation that always hangs around a king that we see again in Macbeth. Wow. At the end, where he doesn't have that to cling on to as any kind of longevity in his legitimacy. And then we have the wonderful word attorney again. So he's pointing out the form of the scene. We had it at the top of the scene and now here at the bottom. And then urging the necessity and state of time. So this is the world. It's state of times. It's the world that we live in that forces these choices. If it was a different world, I wouldn't have to ask this. And peevish fond, perversely foolish. You are just, you know, continuing with this argument and we're wasting time and I don't need this shit. Yeah. And then we have this interesting joining of language in the upcoming lines here. So Elizabeth, shall I be tempted of the devil thus?
Aye, if the devil tempt thee to do good.
Shall I forget myself to be myself?
Aye, if yourself's remembrance wrong yourself.
Right, so I love devil and devil, myself, myself, yourself, yourself. It's almost like they're speaking the same language now. Or is Elizabeth letting him think they're speaking the same language? I like, if yourself's remembrance wrong yourself, if dwelling in memory hurts your chances to be a better self going forward, then yeah, you need to be tempted of the devil. You need to let go of this thing. Mm-hmm. And she says it one more time, though, here. Yet thou didst kill my children.
But in your daughter's womb I bury them, where in that nest of spicery they shall breed selves of themselves to your recomforture.
Whoa! Fucking A! There's a line. In your daughter's womb, I bury them. Oh my God. As if a womb is a place for death. But the Duchess has been saying that all along, hasn't she?
All along.
My womb,
yeah.
The bed of death.
But also, this puts me in mind, here's a little side step here.
Yeah.
You know, if there are people out there, not all people, but there are people out there who don't have children, who do see children as replaceable with other children, not understanding that parents, whether they're biological parents or not, form honest and true heart-to-heart relationships with children, and no human being is replaceable. But there's this idea. I remember there was an acting teacher that I had that I don't even remember why this came up, but we were in class and he gave us that conundrum, right? You have a husband and you have a son, and Both of them are in a house fire. You're on the outside. You can only save one. Which do you save? And all the women in the class were like, will you save the child? And he was like, no, wrong. You can always make more children. You save the husband. And he meant it. And I think that Richard sees these children not as people, but as moving pieces. And I don't think he understands the connection that parents have to their children. Like, you know, if you miscarry, people are like, it's okay, you can have another. But that's not the point.
Yeah.
You know, and I do think there's something in that, in him not having been raised by a mother who loved him, and being, you know, called poison and a bunch of other things all his life. I feel like he just doesn't understand that parents actually have a heart connection to their children, or some parents do.
It's really fascinating because Shakespeare lets us hear the women's perspective and the caring for that thing that grew inside of them.
Yeah.
As a living thing, a living human, and men thinking of them as playing pieces on a chessboard. You know, the men of this time, certainly. It puts me in mind of this line that in Isabella's speech, when she's talking in Measure for Measure, where she's like, women help heaven, men their creation mar in profiting by them. And people have said various things about that line, but I feel like it's her saying women create things and men ruin them by using them for profit and gain. Literally, children are ways to secure land, to secure alliances. That's what children are for in the eyes of men in this time, certainly. But even...
although I'm sure that there are fathers in that time and in this time who see their children as individuals.
Yes.
You know, I'm sure that existed even in Shakespeare's time. Yeah, absolutely. And I think depending on your alignment, right? If you're an authoritarian, you might see children only as continuing the line of authoritarianism, right? Of keeping things in place, conserving, you know. But if you're, you know, if you're not authoritarian, you have an opportunity to see your children as human beings, of their individuals, that you don't own or control, you know, that you can guide and teach, but, you know, not that you make in your own image and control.
So in your daughter's womb I bury them. And then I love this image, though, in that nest of spicery, like her womb as this, you know, spicy place, but also the nest of spices was supposed to be the place where the phoenix was both consumed by fire and then reborn. The nest of spices is the nest of the phoenix.
So, right. So that's what he's saying. In that nest of spicery, they shall breed selves of themselves. So they'll come back. They'll be born again like the phoenix.
Will be born again like the phoenix from your daughter's womb. Whoa. That's just a mind boggling picture. Picture. Word to your recomforture. Consolation. Means consolation, but I love the R's against each other there. Your recomforture. You will be comforted again. You will stop crying at some point because these new babies will be your consolation prize. Yeah. Replaceable babies. Yeah. And so Elizabeth, there's no getting through to him. You know, I think that she gives up at this point. There's been such like shocking imagery that she can't do it anymore. So, shall I go win my daughter to thy will?
And be a happy mother by the deed.
I go. Write to me very shortly, and you shall understand from me her mind.
Bear her my true love's kiss, and so farewell.
She
relenting, yeah, relenting fool and shallow, changing woman.
Damn, after all that, he thinks
I played you.
He thinks I played you, and he thinks she's giving in. I like bear her my true love's kiss because it could be your choice, directors, actors, but to have him kiss her there after all that would be like, whoa, the ugly prune icing on the nasty cake. You know? Like,
yeah.
Bleh, bleh. Yeah. Or that he leans in to try to kiss her or something. Like,
ugh. Yeah.
All right. Yeah,
well,
so it's
Erin.
Been a long episode, but it was exciting and to be continued.
Continued. Oh, I'm a relenting fool and shallow.
No, no. All right, guys. Thanks, and we will see you for the next one.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.
For additional fun shit from Fuck Shakespeare, you can head to our website at fckshakespeare.com.
Or find us on Instagram at fckshakespeare.
If you are enjoying this podcast,
you could support us for as little as 99 cents per month. Just click the support button on the page on Spotify or Anchor.
Tell your friends.